Well, if turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, we're going to finish the chapter this morning. And appreciate so much the gift, and I will use it for the preaching of the gospel, which is very important around here. Matter of fact, the emphasis around here is preaching the gospel. Good to have our visitors back, Miss Brother Bill and Elena Medlin. And they thank me for knocking on their door. I didn't catch them at home, but they thank me for leaving a track. And that's wonderful and encouraging that somebody thank you for knocking on their door in this day and age. Then we also have visitors all the way from Poland, Anna and Dominic, and that's Cornelia's mother and sister, amen? And I tell you what, we're glad to have them. They probably get their award of coming the furthest to church, amen? I don't know how many hours that is flight, but I know how long it takes to get to South Africa. And so we appreciate them being with us so much, and I know Cornelia loves to have her mom and sister visit with her. Amen. Acts chapter 9, we see that Peter launches out, probably by the admonition of Saul, with a searching question: why is all the apostles hanging around Jerusalem? And there was a whole world waiting and needing the Word of God. Amen. And a lot of times we are so, and that was a wonderful offering, by the way, over $1,000. That's a lot of pennies, say amen. And I was going to up it with the mission fund, but I want to give the exact cent because every penny was important, amen? And I don't know what your motive was. It might have been just to get Miss Leslie slimed, and that was a good job, Kevin, wherever you are. I think he's out of town. But, you know, the great blessing of it is that that'll help build that church. And Brother Stephen Underwood came to this church, and he was saved in Vacation Bible School. Not in this church, but another church. So see, here's a missionary on the mission field that was saved at Vacation Bible School. So don't underestimate the potential in one of those children that got saved this morning. Amen? So, oh, they're just little. Well, that don't matter. They're Hispanic. That don't matter. They're not rich. That doesn't matter. It's the grace of God. Amen? And thank God everyone needs to be saved. And everyone's important in God's eyes. Amen? I appreciate pastoring a church that doesn't discriminate against the poor. Amen? A lot of churches are giving up bus ministry because the gas prices are high. Well, we didn't get into bus ministry because the gas prices were low. We got in the bus ministry. That's the only way these children have a way to get to church. Amen? And they're rescue vehicles. So let's keep the buses and vans rolling. Amen? Thank God for you that labored long in those hot hours getting those children to the sound of the gospel. All right, let's stand on the Word of God. That's enough rampaging and meddling. And so I'm going to start preaching. Amen. You know, the crowd looked better now than it did at 11 o'clock. I thought the whole world went on vacation. But amen, some of y'all are here, and that's good. Amen. The Bible says in verse 32, Acts chapter 9, you with me? Say amen. Also got a new Bible, thank God. Amen. It says, and it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also unto the saints which dwelt in Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. In other words, he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Can you imagine the smile on his face? Amen. And all that dwelt in Lydia and Sarum saw him and turned to the Lord. Not to the healer, Peter, but the Lord. By the way, the Lord is the healer. Say amen. Now look at verse 36. Even a greater miracle. And you won't see this today in the local church. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. When they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter rose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas, while she was with them, Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and knelt down and prayed and turned him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Amen. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when she had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. You may be seated as I pray. Father, thank you for the good service we've had thus far. Pray that you'd bless your word. Thank you for the preaching of the word of God. Thank you for the preeminence of preaching. And God, the word of God. We're not looking for signs and signals and miracles. God, we're looking to the word of God, the sound doctrine, to direct us and guide us and help us in these last days. So Lord, help us, Lord, to realize what the real miracle is all about. And that's the miracle of salvation. But God, help us to never forget that the miracle worker is Jesus. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the real miracle worker, Jesus. But also I want to preach on the gift of sowing. The gift of sowing. You know, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of people that are looking for some celebrities in the pulpit. They're looking for signs and signals and miracles. They're even thinking that people can be resurrected from the dead and that people ought to be healed every Sunday. And folks, I believe God still heals through prayer. But I do not believe that there is faith healers or apostolic healers in this day. If they are, get off the TV and stop making millions of dollars and go down to the children's hospital in Atlanta, door by door, and heal those precious little children that are dying of cancer. Come on, say amen. And I want to tell you, this is going to be controversial this morning. Some of you ain't going to like it because of your background, but I want to tell you something. Stay with me just for a second, and I'll prove to you what we need to look to, and that's the greatest miracle of all, and that's salvation, not miracle workers. I'm sure in those days a lot of people wanted to worship Peter. I'm sure in those days a lot of people wanted to go to Peter's church or Peter's tabernacle or at least listen to Peter's TV broadcast and send in millions of dollars so they could be healed. But I want to tell you something, the greatest healing of all is when people get saved, and the greatest way to pass from death into life is when you get saved, amen? The greatest of all miracles, and there's a song, Brother Jim, and we've been praying for your family, by the way, and I'm glad your sister was saved, really saved, amen. But I want to say this, friend, God help us if we get our minds on the man and not Jesus. And I'm not low-rating any miracle that's ever taken place, and some of you have been healed many times or you wouldn't be here, say amen. God still heals through prayer, but God does not heal through miracle workers. There is no apostles in this day and age. In the New Testament, God worked a different way. Amen. Y'all don't like this, I know, but that's all right. I'm going to preach it straight. Amen. That folks, preaching and the Word of God is the most important part of any service. Amen. I got to preach Thursday night. I've been at 42 straight vacation Bible schools. I'm going to skip next year just to make sure I'm going to be here. Amen. Well, maybe I'll be here. I might be up there. But I'll tell you this, friend. We see, first of all, the miracle of restoration. I want to go over this real quick because I want to get to the point about where are all the miracles and the miracle of sowing. The miracle of sowing. We see the needy person in verse 33. The text records Peter's working another miracle among the saints, probably pushed out of Jerusalem by Paul saying, hey, listen, we need to reach beyond Jerusalem. Say amen. And the place was Lydia. That's a town about 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Then we see the problem in verse 33. He'd laid paralyzed for 8 years. Now, folks, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, this man could not move. He was helpless and he was hopeless. And the only way he got up was when Peter came in the name of the Lord and he was healed. Look at verse 34. The Bible says, and Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Don't you love it when God gets the credit? God gets the glory? Because it's God that does it. Amen? If you're healed today, it's because of God. If you're saved, it's because of God. It's because of Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And you know what, the folks, we see this power, Jesus Christ, but we see the precepts. He says, arise and make thy bed. I'm going to say this. I want to say it very clearly. God does not save you to sit on a pew. God saves you to serve. Come on. Where you work, you ought to be a witness. Wherever you go, you ought to hand out a tract. Well, you say, that's not my personality. Well, shyly hand it out. Say amen. Put it on the door and run for all I care. Praise God. But just get the gospel out. Say amen. Walk the walk and talk the talk and represent God wherever you're at. Because, folks, he has performed a miracle in your life. You were dead in your sins and trespasses, and now you're alive. I'm sure Ananias, I know I'm mispronouncing that name, but I didn't have time to check with Alexander Scorby, but I know with all my heart that he did not deny the Lord once he got up. I imagine everywhere he went, he said, hey, listen, I laid 8 years. I was paralyzed from the neck down or the neck up, I don't know which one, but he could not move. And he said, Jesus healed me. Didn't say Peter healed me. He said, God used Peter. I'm sure he magnified the Lord. And so, folks, and the product of the healing, and here's the point I want to give this morning in just about 20 minutes. In verse 35, it says this, and all that dwelt in Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you something. The Acts of the Apostle, and it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, is what Acts is all about, and predominantly about the Holy Spirit acting, moving, performing, and changing lives. Folks, it's all to point people to Jesus. See, this fellow was not important enough to be in the analogs of the book of Acts because he was healed. That's a big deal to him. But it's a bigger deal when you find out who is the healer and who changes lives and who can change your life and what you ought to do once you rise and make up your bed and go. Amen? It was raining this morning and some people turned over. I put a little post, don't sleep your life away, be in Sunday school. Amen. One of you got the message anyway. Praise God. I don't know who got the message. But I want to tell you something. Some people say, oh, it's a nice rainy day. I'll just turn over and snooze a little bit. I'll hit the snooze button. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You ought to drag here to church if it takes it because God's changed your life. You were going to hell. I want to remind you that. You were going to hell. And now you're going to heaven. There ought to be some gratefulness about that. Say amen. Woo, it's getting quiet in here. Praise God. I know it's quiet because we don't have kids singing, but it's getting quieter now that I'm preaching. And it's going to get a little, hey, buckle up. It's going to get a little more blunt. And it ain't easy to preach like this. But I have to preach what God lays on my heart. You know, friend, listen, Christ may put you through suffering, by the way, like this man. But you know something? Because of his healing, many turn to God. God might put you through a lot of junk and a lot of hurt and a lot of harm and a lot of suffering. But you know what? If you'll rise up in the power of God and give him the glory no matter what, and he might heal you and he might not. By the way, sometimes the greatest miracle is the grace God gives you not to be healed. Come on, somebody say amen. I mean, it's not always God's will for you to be healed, or none of us would ever go to heaven if it was God's will for everybody to be healed. Does that make sense? And so if it's not his will for you to be healed, it's definitely not for his will for you to be hateful and quit and be bitter and get mad at God. Never that. It's always, Lord, have your will. And if it's your will to raise me up, I'll go for you. If it's not, while I'm down, I will glorify your name. Say amen. And then we see not only the miracle of restoration, we see the miracle of resurrection. Now, this is what the TV evangelist cannot fake. You're saying you're being ugly. No, I was born that way. I'm trying to get pretty. But they can't fake it. They can fake a lot of things. I remember ABC about 25 years ago hit a microphone on Ernestine Ainsley's platform or something. And he was giving instructions to his ushers about finding out about people so he could demonstrate the gift of prophecy to the congregation. He says, hey, I know you have been, you know, got three kids and one of them just died. And he gets all this fed to him with a microphone, and ABC intercepted it. Now, folks, you know what I call that? I can't say exactly what I would like to call it, but I'm going to tell you something. That's a con artist. That's right. Come on, say amen. That's a fake, that's a fraud, and that's using the name of God to make money. Yes. And it boils my blood. Yes, but I'm trying to stay nice this morning. Because, friend, I'm going to tell you something. That's using God's people and hurting people to make a buck. I'm glad ABC intercepted the signal. Amen? The show. But this wasn't no show. Peter showed up. And I'm going to tell you something. This lady was a sore for widows. They all gathered weeping. Said the only reason we got a dress, I guess back then it was a long robe. Amen? I guarantee it was modest. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. They said, she sewed it for me. Or I wouldn't have anything. And so they heard that old Peter was next door or down the road about 20 miles, excuse me. It's getting longer. And said, hey, listen, please come here and touch this lady. She's been such a blessing to us. She sewed our clothes or we wouldn't have any clothes. And Dorcas or Tabitha, I don't know why she's got two names. That's not my business. But I'll tell you this, friend. Peter dismissed them. She arose from the dead. Apostolic gift that Peter had was to touch people and they'd be healed and touch people and they'd be rise from the dead. And what I want to deal with this morning is why the difference. Where is the miracles gone today? And where are the miracle workers today? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If that's for us, I'll be the first one to pray for the miracle of being a faith healer. I'll pray right now that God would give me the gift of healing. If I thought it was for today, I'd pray it right now. I'd quit everything and I'd let that be because I'm going to tell you something. If I raised somebody from the dead Thursday night, I'm sure a lot of people would show up Friday. But what I did, I preached the gospel. About 7 or 8 little children, 9, I don't know what it was. They came down and they got counsel from these young people, from these counselors, and they got saved from the Word of God. So, listen, friend, if I could heal, I'd do it. But God works in different dispensations, in different times, different ways, and that's God's business. And I want to give you that. I want you to know, I just want you to see it real quick, that Peter put them all forth, verse 30, 40, and knelt down and prayed. Notice he prayed. He just didn't touch her. He didn't say, hey, listen, turn the cameras on. Line up. He said, hey, y'all just be dismissed. He had nobody around, and she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And look at verse 41. And he gave her his hand. He was a gentleman. And he lifted her up. When he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. All these people said the little lady that had the gift of sowing is now alive because Christ used Peter, the Holy Ghost used Peter to touch her life. We've been out here praying, Peter's praying, and now she's alive. She was dead. And I believe that happened, don't you? Come on, say amen. Let's get with it now. And then look at verse 42, and here's the whole reason that we had apostolic sign gifts in the New Testament day. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And many believed in the Lord. Amen. Now, folks, I want to just close I got to pulpit late because of some long-winded announcer at the first of the service, me. And so I'm going to cut her to the chase. Peter was expressing apostolic gifts. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And I want to ask you, where have all the miracle workers gone? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, please. The Bible says this. Boy, these verses set me free on this confusing matter because a lot of people are following celebrities instead of following servants that preach the Word of God. We live in a day and age where people are looking for a show. Now, the contemporary movement, it's not so appealing to the young people, so they're trying to squish that a little bit, and they're putting that aside and replacing it with rock and roll music and, you know, emotionalism. Andy Stanley said 3 years ago, we ought to unlink ourselves from the Old Testament. Now, what a statement for a preacher that represents liberalism to say that we ought to unlink ourselves from the Old Testament. Folks, we need the Old Testament as much as we need the New Testament. Say amen. We need it from kiver to kiver, as the old mountaineer said. Amen. We need all of it. And by the way, when Jesus preached, all he had was the Old Testament. When Paul preached, that's all he had. Come on now. Don't chase a rabbit, Brother Wayne. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How many think it's great to be saved? And by the way, when you got saved, you had something happen to you spiritually like happened to Dorcas. You passed from death unto life. And that's a miracle. You're a walking, talking, living miracle. You're saved. Look at this. How shall we escape so great a salvation? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them that heard him. Now, them that heard him is referring to the apostles. Now, listen to what happened with the apostles, them. God also bearing them, apostles, witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. According to his own will, he gave them divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, wonders and signs. Why don't we have some signs here? Why don't we repeat Pentecost and have the rushing mighty wind come through the door? Why don't we have the cloven tongues come down, or cloven tongues of fire? And why don't we just stand up and interpret 19 languages? Because we have the Word of God. Amen. We don't need signs and signals. We need Jesus. We don't need miracles. The Bible said, Jesus said, an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. We need to seek after the Savior. Come on, say amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Say, I just need to preach this, folks. I mean, I'm preaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I just need to deal with it. You say, I don't like it. I'm not here running for office. I'm not in the Republican line of primaries or whatever it is. I'm preaching the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm trying to do it with some grace and politeness. At the same time, I'm upset with people using people in the name of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible says this, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Notice a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 word in that sentence. The signs of an apostle. Folks, there are signs of apostles that are not a sign of signs affiliated with this preacher. If you want to know if I'm a man of God, don't judge me by miracles and signs and healing. Judge me by if I preach the Word of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. And so it's sign gifts. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, please. Where have all the miracles gone? 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Well, I saw 11 miracles this week in this church. Amen. Say amen. No, excuse me. I saw 15. It's a miracle to get assurance of your salvation too. Say amen. Because right. If you don't know you got salvation, what good is it? It's like having a quarter in your pocket. It won't do you a dime's bit of good. Say amen. You need to know it's there. Amen. It's like having $100 in your checking account not knowing it's there. I want to know it's there, don't you? I check my balance every time I withdraw. Don't you? Come on, say amen. Or you might withdraw just too much, amen. But thank God it's there. Thank the Lord. Where was I going? 1 Corinthians what? 13. Okay, I just want to know if you was listening, Jack. The Bible says in verse 13, verse 8, but verse 8 is true. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And that means, friend, like Paul came up with the doctrine of the rapture. What if I came up with a new doctrine, the doctrine of rupture or something, amen? You know, just some wild idea that something's going to take place in a couple of days or future, like Jehovah's Witnesses preach twice and they missed it. Come on, say amen. Come on now, if you miss a prophecy, you're a false prophet. Right. Amen. But folks, I want to tell you something. Paul had the gift of prophecy. He came up with some things that wasn't seen in the Old Testament. And then he wrote them down, and it became 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. The rapture. Amen. You'll never see that mentioned in the Old Testament, but you'll see it in 1 Corinthians. That's a gift of prophecy. Is that here today? No, the Word of God's complete. There's no preachers going around saying, I just got a prophecy. I'm going to add to the Word of God. You better not add to the Word of God or take away. Look at this now. Y'all with me this morning? The Bible says this. Whether there be tongues, man alive, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Folks, why aren't we having somebody stand up and say something in a heavenly language and then somebody else get up and interpret it? Because the Bible says they'll cease. Now look at this. Let's go on now. But when, listen to this. It says, whether I be in knowledge, it shall vanish away. That's that thing where you say, hey, listen, you got a problem and you got knowledge about a person's life and you prophesy or give knowledge in front of somebody. Like Ernestine Ainsley tried to reproduce with his little microphone and his little, don't get me started on that. Folks, that happened in the New Testament. Peter had knowledge. Peter had prophecy. Peter had the gift of healing. Peter had the gift to raise people from the dead because he was an apostle. Now look at this though. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And then look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but when then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, now listen, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Folks, we need to have faith in the Word of God. We need to have love by the Holy Spirit, and that's the greatest gift. Dorcas had the gift of sowing. And in the midst of a guy that had the gift of raising the dead, the Holy Spirit Scripture said, this lady had the gift of sowing. We can have the gift of handing out a peanut butter sandwich on Friday night. We can have the gift of driving a bus. We have a gift of being a bus captain. And going knocking on a door, which is not easy. And thank you, the Midlands, for thanking me for knocking on your door, because it's not many people thanking nobody for knocking on their door. They don't want nobody on their door. But we got to keep knocking, amen? Keep giving the gospel. You say, well, I just don't believe in that kind of evangelism. Well, argue with God then, because He sent them out two by two. But I want to say this, friend. Stop looking for signs and signals and start looking for the Savior. He's coming. And I want to tell you something, friend. This is the whole canon of the Word of God, and it's complete. And folks, the revelation comes from this book. Amen. The revelation comes from this book. It's not from some private interpretation. It's not from some apostle sitting up here, Apostle Wayne Cofield. I should get that title. Amen. No, I don't want that title. The Apostle Kenneth Cofield. That sounds better. Sounds like Kenneth Copeland. God help us. And folks, he has a prophecy this morning. He's going to line you up and heal you. He's going to line you up, or he's going to the funeral home over here at Ponders, and he's going to raise somebody from the dead. I'm going to tell you something. I'd have so many people following me, I wouldn't know what to do. But folks, that's not God's plan. God's plan is for me to preach the Word of God, and you agree with it. Say amen. Stay awake. come back on Sunday night, come back on Wednesday night, and grow by faith in the Word of God. That which is perfect is come. Peter had the gift of healing. Paul had the gift of healing. But I want you to look at 2 Timothy in closing, chapter 4, verse 20. The Bible says, Erastus, are you with me? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus, did I say that right? Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. He left him sick. I believe, friend, his friend was sick. And I believe the apostolic gifts were fading out about the time of Paul's last days. And he wasn't majoring on healing. He was majoring on preaching and writing the New Testament. And folks, I want to tell you something. I think if he could have touched his best friend or his friend, he would have done it. Amen? Folks, the Bible says he told Timothy to take a little wine for stomach's sake. That's medicine. And by the way, you should never have wine in your house or alcoholic drink calling it medicine. That is a stumbling block, and that's a sin. Come on, say amen. Somebody opens your... Boy, I'm getting really controversial this morning. Amen. Opens up your refrigerator and you got Bud Stupid in there. That's a stumbling block. Come on, say amen. Well, I just have a little wine for my stomach's sake. Get right with God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. One-tenth drunk's drunk. And I want to tell you something. It's contagious. And it's aggressive. And you can't stop with one drink. Well, it'll be teetotalers this morning. Well, you won't hear this in a liberal church. Amen. You ought to abstain from the appearance of evil. Say amen. You say, well, I don't drink it. My wife does. Well, pray for your wife. Amen. Get it out of your refrigerator. Talking about the gift of healing. Talk about the gift of sowing. I'm talking about the little gifts. That some people say, well, that's not the celebrity gifts. I'm talking about serving God. Folks, here's the noted purpose. It's authentication. It was authentication. Grant, I come knock on your door. Thanks for listening this morning, by the way. I come knock on your door. You come to the door. You're in the New Testament day. You've never seen me. You've never heard of the Bible. The Bible's not even written now. It's just the Old Testament scrolls. You got me? You do? Okay, good. And Peter stands there and says, hey, in the name of the Lord, I want to tell you about a virgin-born Son of God. First thing Grant would say if I said that in the New Testament, what? Somebody born of a virgin? And then he'd say, listen, I'm going to tell you what else happened. He lived 33 perfect years. He died on the cross. He was buried. 40 days passed and 500 people saw him alive. He didn't see him alive. We're in the New Testament day. And he said, I want to tell you something. He's coming again. I can hear Grant now saying, hey, we have got a lunatic at the door. He's crazy. He's saying something about a virgin born Son of God. He's talking about dying on a cross. He's talking about being buried and resurrected. He's talking about him coming again and set up a kingdom. He's crazy. But wait a minute. I look over his shoulder. I'm an apostle now. And there's a beer in the living room. B-I-E-R, casket. Somebody's dead. Peter says, can I come in? You say, yes. Will you say yes? Okay, yes. Okay. And I come in. And I touch that person because I'm Peter. I have a apostolic gift, and he rises up alive. Now Grant's listening. Now I've got Grant's attention. That's the apostolic gift. And folks, today God chooses to use this book as all the signs, all the signals, and all the miracles we need. Now, thank God, God heals through prayer. Amen. I hadn't seen no resurrections yet in my 72 years, but He heals through prayer. But folks, we don't depend on healing. And we don't depend on the Peter, the Pauls, and the apostolics around here. We depend on the Word. So let me just say this, and all the negativity that I preached, which I don't mean to be negative, is I don't want to positively preach this. We need to depend upon the Word. It's the full canning of the Word of God. Folks, we need to look for Jesus through the Word. We need to appreciate preaching of the Word. We need to appreciate teaching of the Word, because this is complete. And this is the full revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is God's story. And praise God, I'm glad I can preach it. And I want to tell you something, folks. In sundry's time, in the last days, the Lord's going to be lifted up. God's going to be lifted up. But in chapter 3 of Hebrews chapter 1 says, I'm going to reveal myself through Jesus. And how does Jesus get revealed today? Through this Word. Our Father, we pray that you'd use this message. God, it hadn't been an easy one to preach, but you laid it on my heart. I'm going to preach on what you lay on my heart. And Lord, your Word is true, and thank you for the gift of sowing that Dorcas had. And thank you, dear God, for the gift of healing and resurrection that you gave Peter. But God, help us not to pray for it. And help us not get sidetracked on the short-term miracle. What does it profit a man if he gets resurrected from the dead and goes to hell forever? God, thank you for the greatest gift of all, salvation. And thank you, dear God, for all the apostolic signs and signals and gifts and miracles that took place in the forming of the New Testament church. Because, Lord, every time it pointed people to Jesus. So I'm definitely not going to criticize it. I'm not going to second guess it. And I'm not going to water it down. I believe Aeneas was healed after 8 years of being paralyzed. And I believe that Dorcas was raised from the dead after dying. All for your glory. And all to see, as the Scripture says, people turn to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I hope you've learned something this morning. But I want you to do this. I want you to be amazed about your salvation. I want you to be more grateful about your salvation. I want you to realize, just as this little lady that sewed garments for widows, and the widows loved her so much they went looking for the healer, you ought to thank God that you have a gift. It might be driving a bus. It might be coming and fixing a broken pew this week, as some did. It might be playing the piano beautifully like Miss Rebecca, or playing an organ like Miss Trudy so beautifully plays every Sunday. It might be some gift, some talent, but it might be just God's giving you breath and health and strength to pick up a little child that's scared, to pick up a little child that's being abused. Might pick up a child that has no hope and say, come to church, we'll love you, we'll hug you, we'll feed you, we'll bless you, and we'll teach you the Word of God. Oh, what a blessing it is to be His servant. Amen. Let me say, preacher, I'm glad I'm saved. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven, because I've been passed from death into life. And I have evidence to prove that I've passed from death into life. I'm saved. And that's your testimony this morning. Would you raise your hand as a happy testimony of that? All over this place. Amen. How many glad say amen? Do not raise your hand unless you're 100% sure. Several could not raise your hand, and you'd say, preacher, pray for me, because I'm not saved and I don't want to go to hell. And I don't want to miss another day of life and life abundant, peace, joy, purpose. And I want you to please pray for me, because I'm lost. Would you slip your hand up real high for prayer? Anyone? Anyone? Let me say, preacher, I'm saved, but I know somebody that's not. And I want to be proof positive evidence of the aliveness of God, because my life can be a display to them that Jesus resurrects from the dead. That I was lost and dead in my sins and trespasses, Ephesians 2:1. But Jesus quickened me, brought me to life. I passed from death to life. And you say, preacher, also, God's blessed me and I want to be a blessing. I want to use the talents I got. I want to use the strength I got. I want to use the life I got to help somebody come to Jesus. Would you raise your hand high for prayer all over this place? Yes, yes, yes. God saved you to serve. I say that without apologies. God saved you to serve. Anyone else? God saved you to be faithful. God saved you to worship. God saved you to glorify His name. Father, thank you for the message. I pray it's been a message, not just an outline. God, help us, Lord, to believe those two miracles. But God, thank you, Lord, for the reason for the miracles. And that's because the Word of God was not complete yet. Peter just had to show up with the power of God to convince many to turn to you. Now, Lord, thank you for your Word. Use it for your glory in this church and through every ministry and every lesson, every class, every bus route. Have a devotion on the Word from the Word of God. God, help us, Lord, to memorize it, to prayerize it, and to actualize it through a yielded life. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.